Beloved congregation, let us turn again to the book of Joshua, the first chapter. And even though we will cover that first part there, let us read again, particularly the verses 5, 6, and 7. Joshua 1, beginning at verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Beloved congregation, it is one thing to enter the promised land yourself. It's quite another thing to lead others on that way to the promised land on their way. How do you do it? To enter it for yourself, you could say, is hard enough. How to lead others? Remember the Apostle Paul writing about similar things? And there he writes in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 19, "For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." Now Joshua must have felt similar to Paul later on. The promised land, he'd been in there. He had spied it about 40 years before. A wonderful land. A glorious land. Flowing with milk and honey. And God had promised it to his people. Yet there were many enemies, adversaries. Think of five enemies. Think first of all of all those strong cities. Those many Canaanites. Those giants, the sons of Anakim. And think of the Jordan that they had to cross. He had to cross that with 2 million people. And think of those Canaanite lords that he would have to meet with their weapons and their skill. He saw those fortified cities with those heavy walls. And he knew it impossible to scale. Indeed, there are many adversaries. But that was not the only adversary. Joshua had witnessed that during surely the past 40 years and more. There was this people, Israel. And they had proven to be a rebellious people. An unbelieving people, a murmuring people, a stiff-necked people. How often had they not gone their own way, provoking the Lord? How often had they not challenged their leaders, Moses and Aaron, and had been ready to kill Moses and Aaron? It's one thing to scale those heavy walls of the enemy with a willing and experienced and submissive army. It's quite another to be the leader of this people. So that as a second aspect of the adversaries. And then thirdly, think in terms of the fact that Moses is gone now. He had died only recently. The Lord says it in verse 2 of this chapter. Moses, my servant, is dead. How can I, Joshua, go forward without Moses? Oh, Moses was not a perfect man either. He also had been unbelieving at times. And yet Moses had withstood the Pharaoh. He was the one with his staff in his hand to lead the people of Israel through the Red Sea. And Joshua remembers that when he had been fighting against Amalek with the army, Moses was there with the staff in prayer and upheld in prayer by those two brothers. Moses had been the one through whom God had given his law. And the many miracles that had been done by God had been done through Moses, the God-appointed leader for all those years. And Moses had brought them under God to this border, but now he had died. What an empty place that must have been to Joshua. He was being used to Moses telling him what to do and when to do it and how to do it. So that as a third aspect of adversaries. And then fourthly, don't you think Joshua would have known another adversary as well? Not merely the Canaanites and not merely the rebellious Israelites murmuring, unbelieving, and not just the fact that Moses was gone. Will Joshua not have known that there was also in his own heart an adversary? The adversary of fear, of unbelief, of sin. What will that have been to Joshua to think of all those adversaries? To think with Paul, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Think of that congregation. And then think of today. Is that not our situation? As you have entered the special office, brothers. But is it not true for all of us, congregation? Ahead of us there is the promised land, is there not? And God has given to you me glorious and faithful promises that we may go in and possess that land of promise. There is an eternity to gain, and there is a heaven to be won. But there are so many adversaries. How are we supposed to enter ourselves, and how are we to lead others into the promised land? Well, Joshua chapter 1 gives us a very encouraging lesson, congregation. Let's look at it under the theme of the calling to lead. First of all, called by the Master, called to a mindset, called with a manual, and fourthly, called to a mission. The calling to lead, called by the Master, called to a mindset, called with a manual, called to a mission. First of all, then, called by the Master. Actually, a very important point, congregation, and I may dwell on it for just a little one. But that's to remind you and myself that the book of Joshua is not first of all and is not mainly about Joshua. With whom does Joshua chapter 1 start? Who's the first one to open his mouth in the book of Joshua? It's the Lord. Now Joshua giving orders to his people, but God speaking and giving orders to Joshua. And here already we have the key, as it were, this evening to that blessing and to that success, that God is in control and God is the Master. And behind everyone who is called by the Lord, there is the Lord who has called him. That's a lesson that we must learn and that we never get done learning in this life, congregation. God calls. And what do you say then? Then his people go. God plans. And then his people follow his plan. And so on. And there are at least two more could be mentioned, but I must limit myself very much tonight. There are at least two ways in which we see the mastery of God in calling Joshua to lead. First of all, God shows his mastery by having prepared Joshua up to this point. You think of, and the Bible does not tell us, you think of how old Joshua will be at this stage in his life. He's been there for 40 years in the wilderness. He was older than 20, so he's older than 60. Caleb was about 5 years later, 85. And you think of those early years of Joshua. I read in one commentator that Joshua may have served. We have no evidence for that. He may have served in Pharaoh's army. And there he may have been trained to be quite the officer. And thus also used in the battle against the Amalekites. And you see how the Lord step by step gives responsibilities to a man like Joshua. Let's just look in the scriptures how that is. In that battle against Amalek, in which Joshua was called to be the general, and he went with a group of soldiers. But what was the lesson that he learned as a general in the fight against Amalek? Can you think of it? It was this. That they won whenever Moses held up his hands with the staff of God in his hand. And when his hand lowered because he was getting so weary, then they were losing. And when Aaron and Hur helped him, they were winning the battle. What's the lesson there that Joshua learned? He learned the lesson of the power of prayer. So that first of all. And a second lesson that the Lord taught Joshua by way of preparation was the lesson of the sinfulness of sin. Remember that when Moses had gone up the mountain to receive the law of God, that God wrote with his own finger on those stone tablets. But then Moses came down, and there was a noise in the camp of Israel. And Joshua had said to Moses as they traveled down, there is a noise of war in the camp. No, Moses said, it is the noise of them that sing. That's what I hear. And then when Moses and Joshua arrived at the camp, what did Joshua see there with Moses? The sinfulness of sin. Israel dancing around a golden calf. That was the second lesson, you might say, that God taught Joshua the heinousness of sin. The wickedness of the people of God, having been redeemed by God from the slavery in Egypt, turning their backs on God to these idols. That was the second lesson. The first one was the power of prayer. The second, the sinfulness of sin. And the third lesson that Joshua learned, that, and others could be mentioned, but I'm just mentioning a number of them, was that after this dancing around the golden calf, remember that in Exodus chapter 33, 32 is the account of the golden calf. Chapter 33 is that Moses, he takes the tabernacle outside the camp of Israel as a picture of God against his whom the people of Israel had sinned, that God was grieved. And then the cloud, remember in Exodus 33, the cloud of God's glory came upon the tabernacle outside the camp. That was the lesson. What was the lesson? That Israel, that had sinned against the Lord and had turned away from the Lord, had to return to the Lord. And then they would be forgiven for their sins. That was the third lesson for Joshua. Repentance from sin and forgiveness from sin. And a fourth lesson, we all know very well that Joshua was one of the spies, and he traveled with 11 other spies through the promised land. And they came back with a wonderful report, all of them, in the sense that it is a wonderful promised land indeed. But 10 of them had a very negative testimony, and they said, "We'll never be able to take that land, so let's not go there to begin with. It's much too dangerous. There are way too many giants that inhabit the land." And then there was Joshua, remember? And Caleb that spoke up, and they spoke of the greatness of God, and they spoke of the promise of God's covenant, and they said, "Let us go up and let us possess it, for we are well able to overcome them." But then the people followed the 10 spies. And Numbers 14 verse 1 tells us that the people of Israel wept all night. But then Joshua and Caleb, they rent their clothes and they addressed the people and they said, "It is a wonderful land and God has promised to give it to us. So don't rebel against the Lord. Don't fear those people." But remember, the people went still with the majority. And they wanted to stone Joshua and Caleb. And that was the fourth lesson for Joshua. You could say it was the lesson of the importance of faith, even if it means I'm standing alone. The importance of faith, even if it means I'm standing alone and giving a faithful report. That was the fourth lesson. And the fifth lesson that Joshua had to learn, you can read towards the close of the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 31. There we read in verse 7 and 8 that Joshua was summoned. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, "Be strong, Joshua, and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee, he will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." And then if you keep reading Deuteronomy 31, then you get into verses 14 and 15, that moving account, and I'll read it to you from my notes. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, thy days approach that thou must die. Call Joshua, and present yourselves in the tabernacle of the congregation, that I may give him a charge. And Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord appeared in the tabernacle in a pillar of the cloud. And the pillar of the cloud stood over the door of the tabernacle." What was that? That was the fifth lesson. The lesson of the Lord calling and equipping Joshua. So those are the five lessons that the Lord by now had been teaching Joshua. The power of prayer. The sinfulness of sin. Repentance from sin and forgiveness from sin. And fourthly, faith. The importance of faith and bringing a faithful report, even if you have to stand alone. And fifthly, that the Lord called him and he would equip him. And so it is, brothers, as the Lord calls you tonight. And as he calls each one of us, congregation, whether to be a leader in our home as a father and as a mother, or to be a leader in the church, these are five important lessons that you must learn, that I must learn. Have you learned them? Are you learning them? That's the mastery of God. That he teaches those lessons in Joshua's life, in your life, my life. That's how he prepares those whom he calls. So that's the first illustration of God's mastery. And a second illustration is the presence that he promises as their master. We already noted that Joshua has to go on now and lead the people, and that without Moses, his trusted father and guide thus far, in a sense. But notice the promise of God in the opening verse there, in verse 5, that is, "As I was with Moses," he says to Joshua, "so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." And then verse 9, "For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." You know, brothers Klein and Van Fort and Vanderboon and Klein here and all the other brothers and sisters, the church of the Lord is not my idea, is not your idea, but is the Lord's idea. It's He who has made us, who has put us in this world at the time that He chose to put us here, to teach us this lesson, and then to say, "Now this is your task, but I will go with you." Thanks be to God. And we need constant reminders of this, congregation, like Joshua also needed constant reminders. Look how the Lord does that in verse 2, for instance. What does the Lord say about that land? He said, "It's the land which I do give them." Verse 3, "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses." So this whole idea of Israel entering now the promised land and conquering that promised land, that's not simply on the basis of these people were sick and tired of Egypt and they crafted a plan and they said, "Let's go to Canaan. We understand from the tradition that that's a good land." And it was not either Joshua's plan, private plan, congregation, but God's plan. And God was going to do it. So it is in your and in my life. If you are a father in your family, then God has given to you the children that He has given to you. He's given you your wife, and together your home, and He's given you your work, your daily task, and He's given you this church that you and I are members of. And He calls us to take our place in the church. It was not by our choice, and maybe it was by your choice, and then later you thought, "What did I choose? This church?" But it was His choice, by His guiding hand. Is that not the story of your and my life? He is the potter, and you and I are the clay. He is fulfilling His purposes, His plan. His plan from before the foundation of the world. Does your life, your family often look to you like a mountain? Does your Christian life look to you as a high mountain? And you just don't know how to get that mountain, how you can take it. Well, who made you a Christian, if you are a Christian? And who made you to begin with and gave you this place? Would He not also bring you there where He wants you to go? In this passage, we see this wonderful promise of God. And it goes like this. The Lord says, "Joshua, this is my purpose, my plan." What is the lesson, congregation? It is this: salvation is of the Lord. And congregation, has the Lord not proven that beyond what Joshua had in his day? If you think of the one who was called after Joshua, but then not the Hebrew name, but the Greek name, Jesus, Son of Mary, Son of God, Who was he? Was he not the Son of God of whom we read in John chapter 3? God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world by him might be saved. Did God not call him his Son? Emmanuel, God with us. And is that not how he works also today, through his word and spirit? What is the lesson? He gives himself. He enables, he equips, he equips, he comes himself in Jesus Christ, in the gospel, for sin and for sanctification. It is he. The Lord says, have I not said it? And will I not do it, Joshua? I shall be with you. I know there is this empty place. Moses is not here. But am I not more than Moses? Can I not fill that empty place with myself for you? Are my resources too limited for you? What more do you need than that my presence shall go with you? So that's our first point, congregation. I belabored it a little bit, but it's the point of the Lord that he comes as the master of Joshua and your and my life. But secondly, the Lord also calls to a mindset. Actually, I should maybe call it a heart set, because these things must begin in the heart. But notice how three times in this passage the Lord calls Joshua to be strong and courageous. What Joshua needs is a mentality of spirituality and strength and courage. His mind needs to be strong and to be stayed on the Lord. His heart needs to gather all the strength that he can and continue in the Lord. And this is where it begins also for Joshua, in the heart. So God calls Joshua, and Joshua is ready. Notice he doesn't say, ah, Lord, I'm tired. Send someone else. He's ready because the forces that God has used to influence and mold and prepare Joshua for this very hour, and the many lessons that the Lord has taught him up to this point, they are the true source of power and perspective for Joshua from the living God himself. And Joshua has been taught how terrible sin is among the people of God. Joshua has been taught how God prepares a man, and how he, even when he trusts in the Lord, may get to stand alone and be in a minority with everybody perhaps saying, ah, you are a fool and you are wrong. And the whole people may be against him. And as he saw before, the people may want to kill him at a certain time. But Joshua has been taught to stand with and to trust in the Lord. That will be his mindset, his heart set, his strength. Now, the last week's congregation, in a certain sense, we have had opportunity to dwell on this, particularly with Caleb, remember? But also this morning with Isaiah 40, the very closing verse there. So allow me to be brief this night, and I'll say three things under this point. First of all, that Joshua needs the strength of his person. Joshua should not let himself grow weak, and if he finds himself weak, he must quickly go to the Lord to receive strength from him who is the source of his strength, namely the Lord himself. Notice that the Lord doesn't say to Joshua, Joshua, I'm calling you, you just go and you'll never find yourself weak. No. We find later in the book of Joshua, and perhaps we will come to it later in the summer or early in the fall, and we find Joshua at Ai, that little town. And there Joshua in weakness, and from weakness, has run from the Lord. In not looking right away to the Lord. And the Lord has to call him to order. And then right away he has to go to the Lord for strength and courage. What Joshua needs is not a backbone as such. And not just strong faith as such, but Joshua needs courage. Courage. When he sees those cities in the new land, and his heart may grow faint. If that happens, he must encourage himself in the Lord his God. But that lack of courage, often that's where the problem comes in, does it not? Sometimes we don't know what to do. But often we know what to do. But we lack the courage. And God says to Joshua, Joshua, be strong and very courageous. So that first of all, as a subpoint. And secondly, the Lord says to Joshua, you need the strength from my promise. Look at verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Do you see how Joshua receives that courage and strength? He doesn't have to muster his own, or this from his own personality, you might say, or from a group of friends with whom he is close, or from a reservoir of worldly wisdom. No, he draws it from the promise of God. And that promise of God, every promise, is like a bucket from the well of the Lord's promises. And what promises don't we have, congregation? The Bible is filled with them. And as I say, every promise in the Scripture is like a well that we can draw strength from. So that secondly, Joshua needs to draw strength from the promise. And then thirdly, Joshua needs strength from the precept that the Lord spells out to him in verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. So Joshua must draw strength from the promise for obedience to the precept of God. It's not simply that he must, that precept must build him up, but it is that he may obey his master, the Lord. And that's the mindset also for you, brothers. In the special office and in the general office, I may well say, Joshua needs the precept of the Lord and is drawing strength from the Lord. And from his precept. And that's how it is for any office bearer. You need to be strong and courageous in your personhood, drawing from the promises of God and obeying the precepts of God. And that brings us to our third point, that the master calls him with Emmanuel. And God gives that also to us, congregation, as he gave that to Joshua, Emmanuel, for fulfilling the calling. It is the word of God. That's the manual that we must take on our mission. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. So this manual is more than various books that are available in the world. And it's more than all the counselors in the world, congregation. God says to Joshua, you must listen to my own mouth, but thou must also listen to my word, my law, the book of the law, the written word, he says. Now notice that in this verse 8, there are really four things, and allow me to call attention to it. The Lord says to him, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. So Joshua should not assume that he knows it all. No, he has to read the book, be in the book. and take the battle instructions from the book on his way. When he gets to Jericho, read the book of the law. When he gets to Ai, read the book of the law. When he gets to Jerusalem, read the book of the law. Read it when you fight. Read it when you triumph. Read it when you divide the land. Read it when you inherit. Don't you stop reading it, he says to Joshua. That first of all. And then secondly, he says, meditate. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night. O congregation, meditation. We have our quiet time in the morning. What is it, 20 minutes? How long is your quiet time? And then we stop it. Close the book. Now I got to go to work and you race. But he says to Joshua, thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Also when you are at work. Also when you are fighting. Dwell on it. Copy it. Repeat it. Pray over it. Memorize it. Apply it to your life. Take your time. So that's secondly. And then the Lord goes on to say, more than meditation, he says, do it. God's word is not just some fodder for the mind, congregation. It has some interesting stories that we like, some interesting facts. No, the Lord says to him, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. And then he says at the end of verse 8, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Do it. Remember that James in his epistle, in chapter 1, he talks about being doers of the word and not hearers only. And then he describes the people who are hearers, like the people who stand in front of a mirror and they see that their hair needs to be tidied up or their face has to be washed. They see it and then they go on. They don't tidy up their hair and they don't wash their face. James says they are the hearers of the word of God. But he says, be ye not only hearers. Joshua, do them. And then fourthly, he says, rejoice in it. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Joshua, if you do this, then you shall be joyful over what the Lord will give you in that process. In meditating on that word and doing that word, then you will have success in attaining the love of God and attaining true discipleship. Now there are several here this evening, congregation, among whom are the newly ordained elders and deacons. And brothers, you may feel this day quite burdened, maybe very much burdened. And it is true, the Lord is giving you enormous responsibilities. He gives you the care over the souls of this flock and others around us here. And you need to recognize that the spiritual lives of people depends also on you, under God. And you will be under great pressure. And at times you will be criticized. And sometimes we need to be criticized. If it's according to the word of God, we must heed it. But God's word says to you tonight, take up the manual, read it, meditate on it, and rejoice in it. And you will have good success. And then you will have our last point very, very, very briefly, congregation, called to a mission. Verse 10, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, you see, the word of God does not return void here in Joshua. He obeys, he is strong, and he is courageous, and he leads the people. And let me close by saying, congregation, that Joshua here is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. I already referred to him. We do not only have here Joshua's obedience, but we have here the obedience of Jesus Christ to the command of his Father. Joshua sends officers through the camp of Israel, and he tells them to be ready in 3 days. Do you hear the voice of Christ this night? He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Joshua was to lead him into the land of promise. Christ leads his people into the heavenly land of promise, and he gives them everlasting rest from out of his finished work on the cross. Do you belong to his people? Do you follow his command, his leadership? There is no rest, no promised land without the greater than Joshua, Jesus Christ. And you must follow him. There is no other way. Congregation, I began my sermon by saying, it's one thing to yourself enter into the land of promise. That's hard enough. How to lead the flock of the Lord. But under Captain Jesus, the greater than Joshua, that is no question. He is strong to save. Save to the uttermost all those that come by him unto God. No question about that. God is calling all of us this evening. Let us obey. Let us not be weak. Let us not be afraid. Let us be of good courage. God is the master. God gives the mindset. God gives us his manual. And there is a mission. May God grant that none of us will fall behind, but that all would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, let thy spirit be our constant aid, O Lord, that all our ways may ever be directed to have thy word in our mouth and in our hearts, and to read thy word and to meditate on it and to do it and to be engaged in the mission to tend to thy flock and also to go out to those around us, that everyone may hear there is a way to the everlasting land of promise. It is by Jesus who calls, and he's the captain. There he is. Go to him. Oh, grant us that grace, O Lord. Bless us also this week, Wednesday, when we assemble as voting members of the congregation, to call and to appoint to the special office of the ministry of thy word, with the special focus of our brother Jerry Michael Bilks to be a professor of theology. Oh, do thou come with thy commission, and let thy spirit be our and his constant aid. For Jesus' sake. Amen.